Excellent. Louise, you did put your hand up and did say it was about this question. Have we fully answered the question, or any further things you wanted to ask?
It was just to add to what Rawson had said, because I've investigated this. A lot of times, when we talk to clients at St. James's Place, and we say, just because you have an inheritance tax liability of X today, does not mean in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, if you've got a whole of life policy, that it's going to be that. And when you explain to them that the product providers are actually very good in their, it's really hard to go up, but it is really easy to go down. And I've investigated this for a lot of clients because, as such, if your IHT liability goes down, then the premiums will go down as well. So what you're paying today, you might not be paying in 10 years' time, because, as the three chaps I've said, people always say, oh, well, I'll gift this, I'll gift that, and then you have all of the family complications that come in, and things don't happen. And I often think that is like a light bulb moment when you're talking to clients, that this sum assured can be reduced. And it is Zurich that does the carve out, and things like, if you've got a single life IHT liability, you could do a term policy and make it convertible, as long as you do it by a certain age, that can be converted to a whole of life. And there are all these, on a like the really positive note, what the providers are doing, there's all these little idiosyncrasies that we as advisors know about that you can do. And I think the product providers are quite good at that, but we do need more people to come into the joint life second death term. And I think that will happen, as you've said, with the new introductions in 2027.
Thanks. In the last few moments available, I'd like to come firstly to Ross to talk about any particular issues you think we haven't covered that you would advise people to treat with caution when advising on AHT. And indeed, I will come to Harry and Ed on anything else on that as well. But Ross.
So I guess to be aware of the two that I would highlight perfectly illustrated by the last 6 months, beware of change. So you can have the best plan in the world today, but then a new chancellor comes in, introduces a budget, throws all your plans out the window. So beware of making irreversible actions because of current legislation, because you might find out in a year's time that that action no longer works and it is difficult to do anything about it. The second would just be that us as financial advisors, just beware of your own boundaries and beware of overstepping that boundary as well. There is nothing wrong with saying to a client, do you know what? That's outside of my scope. I'm not the right person to give you advice on that. We need to get a regulated tax advisor in the room. We need to get a qualified solicitor in the room. Make a little advisory team for the client. Okay, that is introducing extra cost. But the client will get better advice, and you're protecting yourself from giving advice that you shouldn't be otherwise.
Very fair indeed. Ed, can I come to you? Any further points that we haven't covered, particularly about issues to address with caution?
Well, legislation is a, I mean, it's the political football, isn't it? With some of their staff, pensions, business relief, it's opened a bit of a can of worms. Nothing is set in stone quite yet. So we're still waiting for the results of consultations into both business relief, agricultural relief, and pension. So it is being slightly beware of that. Don't jump on it too heavily quite yet. It's just teeing things up for clients. The other thing, just a final point for me on life cover, it's non-contentious. Setting up a life policy is a way of doing something which is not pushing the boundaries of tax planning. It's not edgy. It is something which is set in stone and is simple. And I think that carries a lot of weight, and it gives clients the ability to still manage and use their own assets for the rest of their life. It's just weighing up the cost.
Thank you. Harry, I think I'll give the last word to you, if I may, sir.
Thank you.
Any last points you'd want to raise?
Yeah,
Risks?
I agree with everything that Ed and Ross have said. I specifically in terms of the partners that you end up using, the professional partners that you end up using, because I am not a lawyer, I'm not a tax advisor and stuff like that. What I am is I'm a little bit more educated than my client. So what I do with a lot of my clients when I'm introducing these professionals, I sit on the client side. I don't just pass them on. And that's the role I feel that we should be doing as well. We should be sitting on the client side because we understand the client really, really well. We're going to a solicitor or a tax advisor for a product, but the client doesn't has no clue, and they're going to rely on you. to provide that link and to be on their side. So I feel it's our responsibility, and I think the more we educate ourselves, the better we are and useful to other people, our clients.
Thank you. That's a great way to finish. We've just had a question about, will there be a recording? Yeah, absolutely. There will be a recording of the whole session, which will be available on the protectionguru.co.uk website, probably in about a week to 10 days' time. Jesse will again put the link in there for any of you. I particularly want to thank all of our panelists today. I think that's been a great discussion. I think we could probably have gone on for another hour. Indeed, you know, let's think about how we might bring up some of these issues again. So again, thanks to our panelists. Just a few things from me in closing, if I may. We do run a series of regular webinars to help advisors get more into the detail of giving better protection advice. Again, Jesse will put the link in for those. They're all up. You can see the subjects on screen, but there are a wide range of protection training webinars for how advisors can improve their protection advice, particularly focus on meeting consumer duty obligations. Our up and coming events, many of you, I hope most of you will be aware that regrettably, Legal & General have withdrawn their fracture cover from contracts, from either is withdrawn already from new plans. And if you've got an existing plan out there with fracture cover on it, the client will be losing that benefit at the anniversary. We're doing a session a week today, actually, on what the consumer duty responsibilities are for advisors. If you're looking for alternatives, having had Legal & General take that cover away. Again, Jesse, in just a second, we'll drop a link into that one. We've also got another session on protection advice in the mortgage market. That's very popular as well. And then our advice tech forums. We've got a session on the 18th of June on client onboarding. I was actually reading something from Australia earlier today saying they're estimating that it takes 16 hours to bring on board a protection client for a simple protection case. That's quite worrying. Anyway, looking at tools to help advisors do that. You will very shortly get a feedback form from us. Please do fill it in. It really helps us in designing these future sessions for you. You can see there the various other brands that FTRC produce. And if you need anything, those are my details. Thanks again to Harry, Ross and Ed. An excellent session. And to all of you who are joining. Look forward to talking to you on another session soon. Thanks very much, everyone.